Praise brought you out. Can you give him a hand clap of praise and worship today? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. Hallelujah. That's the beautiful thing about being a Christian, brothers, sisters. Each one of us have to have that testimony. And we used to be caught, we used to be in sin, but the Lord's brought us out, you know. And other things, you might have been born into it, you might have just had a talent for it. Christianity don't work that way. You either get born again or you ain't nothing a part of it. Everyone has a testimony.
Sure.
And we've got something worth praising the Lord for today. I thank Him for His grace and mercy. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. It's good to be with you. This is a weird feeling for me, knowing that I won't be here for a few weeks. I don't know. This is the first time, Brother Dan. I don't know if I can handle that long without seeing you, brother. But we're going to try. Pray for us as well. We're leaving. I think for lunch we're going to go to Burger King. So if you want to be with us, that's where we're going. And then right after that, we're going to go home, change, hit the and boom, right on the road. So pray for us. We're going to go visit with my mom in South Carolina. And then in James chapter 2, if you want to turn in your Bibles there, you've done this little preliminary part. Going down to South Carolina to visit my mom. I'm going to be visiting Brother Fred Mullen's church as well. Sounds like I could be speaking there, so pray for me. They had me give a testimony, or not even, they had me close in prayer, and it ended up being a testimony. So that's just the way it goes sometimes, you know. I just love the Lord. Don't you love Him with all your heart? He's amen. And then we're going to go to Charleston for a little while. Brother Dan's told me a whole scoop about it. He used to live down there, so I feel like I already know the place. I haven't even seen it yet, so it's good. Are you happy to be a Christian today?
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 19 through the end of the chapter there. James 2, 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I'd like to preach this afternoon. We continue here in the book of James. Evidence accepted in God's court. I'm going to say that again. Evidence accepted in God's court. Let's bow our heads before Him, each head bowed. I trust your heart as well. In your heart, is there a need you'd like to lift up with a hand? Say, Lord, you know what's behind this hand, and I lift it to you. God bless you, saints. God knows your heart. Some pray thoughts in you as we invite the Lord before we preach the word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints together again this afternoon, Lord. And as we open up the scripture on the day of Pentecost, you sent the Holy Ghost, Lord, and it started your church that way, Lord, and I believe your church is supposed to still be that way. We come in this place not just to hear me speak, Lord, or me talk about something in the scriptures, but Lord, we come that the Spirit might come and take the word off the pages and make it live in every heart that's here. We pray, Lord, that you'll take every demon power, every possession that's happened in this room and bring deliverance to them, Lord. May there not be a sickness leave this room, and there not be a discouraged soul. May there not be a wayward sinner, but may each one come to that place of peace and love and joy in Jesus Christ. Have your way in this service, we pray. Move mightily upon us, Lord. Speak through my lips, but God, may you hear in every heart that's here this day. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. Hallelujah. Evidence accepted in God's court. There's always a big fuss back and forth with the Christians and those that think they know things about Christianity, about what makes someone a Christian? What makes someone a believer? And you usually have somebody point to, well, we do this or we don't do this. And we go to church and we get together and we do these little motions. And some people believe if I just eat this little piece of wafer and drink a little bit of wine and maybe some of the priests anoint me, that's good enough. I'm a believer. If I come and I pay tithes somewhere and I put my name, I'm a believer. But brother, sister, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what man thinks about you. That isn't what matters. It's in God's court. What evidence do you have to present in the court of God? And everyone has to come to the court of God at some point. I pray you're coming on this side because I definitely don't want nothing to do with the white throne judgment, brother, sister. The white throne judgment is the most terrible thing you could ever ask to be standing in front of. As Brother Branham tried to illustrate in what little we could understand when JFK was killed, presumably by a somebody knows that, right? Wilkins, Lee Harvey Oswald, who am I thinking of? The guy that killed Abraham Lincoln, that's right. There's always a lot of parallels right there with that, but either way, Oswald killed him there, and Brother Branham illustrated of what would that man have felt like. Now, he got shot before he even got there, but when he was sitting in a cell, knowing he's going to go stand before the Supreme Court with the president's blood on his hands. Where would there be any mercy? There'd be none. It doesn't matter there would be no mercy found there because not only had he killed any man, he had killed the leader of the nation that was well beloved at the time, brother, sister. And here were the people that loved this man and you had killed him. There would be no mercy found. How much more for the soul that's got the blood of Jesus Christ on their hands? You say, the blood on my hands? Yes, sir, brother, I hate to tell you right now, but the blood of Jesus Christ got on every man's hands. When Christ was crucified, His blood was shed and it was put on every sinner. Because the price was paid there. Pilate tried. What did he do? He said he rolled up his sleeves. He knew the man was innocent. His wife had warned him, don't touch this man. I've suffered many things in a dream. See, God even will come your way if you be sincere.
That's right.
See, Pilate might not have received a rabbi or something else, but he even sent his own, God sent his own wife and said, I've had a spiritual dream. I've suffered many things. Don't touch that man. So what did he do? Instead of actually letting Jesus go free, he buckled under the pressure and tried to find maybe a compromise. And before men, he felt justified. He said, I'm going to take my hands. He said, I washed my hands clean of this man's innocent blood. Do with him as you please. Brother, sister, you can't wash the blood of Jesus Christ off your hands with some, I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how long you pray. I don't care how long you fasted. I don't care how many good works you did. The blood is still on your hands, brother, sister. The only way to get the blood off your hands is to put it on your heart and accept it in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because then you're identified with the blood. What does that do? That puts you on the other side of the judgment, brother, sister. Glory to God. You've got a group of people that said in the church that, you know, well, I believe that's good enough. Well, James just read it there. He said, that's not good enough. He says, you know, you believe that there's one God. He said, you're doing good. You're doing all right. But the devils believe that. And I already said this, but you know why? Because they got kicked out by him. They know who he is. They didn't fool around with Jesus. They knew. They said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. And what did Jesus say? Shut your mouth. It's not my time yet. See, he was in complete control of what happened, brother, sister. That man thought he was pushing him around, but God knew nobody was making him do that. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says he yielded up the ghost. You go to any other man that dies, it means like his life was stolen from him. But Jesus, when it's talking there, if you go look what it says out of a free will, he yielded up the ghost. He was sitting there, he could have brought life to himself. You kidding me? He raised a man, as I heard Sister Violet talking about. A little boy had died from a mother and he felt compassion and went and raised him up. There was nothing God had said. He just went and did it. Why? Because that's the power that he had. But when it came time, he could have saved his own life. Why didn't he, brother, sister? Because he knew you would have to come.
Amen.
You would have to come to judgment as well. And if he wasn't there, you'd be in that court without an attorney.
Right.
Brother, sister, don't you dare try to bring your works into God's court.
Amen.
Whew, that got quiet.
Amen.
I wonder how many times we do that when we pray. Oh, Lord, you know how, oh my, I did really good today. I deserve a blessing. You don't deserve squat.
Amen. Amen.
You know what you deserve? What I deserve? What we all deserve? Death. And not just a nice little shoot him in the head bullet. I'm talking what Jesus went through. That's what every one of us deserve. Hallelujah. We've got a group that says, well, as long as I believe and I adhere, I'm saved. That's good enough. Then you got the legalist on the other side who's trying to do every single thing in the world he can to get saved. And all he's doing is driving himself in the ground, making himself as miserable as anyone on the world. There's nothing more miserable than having just enough religion that you never get to salvation. Just enough to kind of say, well, part of the group, I'm kind of here. I got a Bible in my house, and you know, half of the United States claims to be Christian still. Where is it at?
That's right.
What happened is that word got cheapened down. The word Christian don't mean Christ-like. It just means someone who, in some regard, adheres to Christ. But back in the days of the apostles, oh my, if you would have put that label on, brother, you better be ready. That's right, because that was a death warrant. Because Jesus wasn't looked at as what, I mean, we're having church today. Jesus wasn't looked at what we see him as a religious figure at all. At that day, he was a political figure. He was a man that was trying to usurp the government and step up his own kingdom. That's right, because the carnal mind can never comprehend the things of God. So they always thought he was trying to establish a kingdom on the earth. But yet, even in Pilate's face, what did he say? I'm not here to build a kingdom. My kingdom was on this earth. My servants would fight. But one of them tried and I told him to stop. Why? Because I'm not building a kingdom that requires the hand of man. I'm building a kingdom that only takes the finger of God.
Hallelujah.
Remember, he cast out devils. He didn't even say he had a strong arm. He said, I cast them out with the finger of God. But when he had to save Israel, what did he need? A strong arm. We're sitting here fussing about the devil. No, it's me, oh Lord, and I'm standing in need of prayer. You know what? When you become a Christian, brother, sister, and you really get in the spirit one time and face the devil, you realize how much of a chump he really is.
Amen.
He's a little, you know, you think of a big buff, you know, a blow-up man, right? He thinks he's real tough. He's got a big head and everything else. All he has to do is meet one real fighter, and it's over. And then there ain't nobody scared of him no more. And brother, sister, the same thing happened to Satan. He used to puff up real big. He came and he got Moses to smite the rock twice. He got David to commit adultery. But one time he met a man.
Amen.
That didn't even eat 40 days. And he was still tempting him. And he still couldn't get him to leave the word. That's right. And it wasn't just a little casual conversation. He said, get thee behind me. Satan, you're an offense unto me. You don't love the things of God. You love the things that be of men. And Brother Bram said, every time he said that word, it was just like. And brother, sister, it's the same when a son of God takes the word and he puts it on his heart and he really believes it with all he can. The devil don't get nowhere near that. He's scared to death. He'll throw everything at you. It's just a little boy throwing rocks trying to get you to, you know, you ain't nothing. But man, you come at him one time, he falls apart. Brother, sister, don't never take the defensive against the devil.
Amen.
Christ has given us a sword.
Yes.
And if we stop using it on one another,
right.
Maybe we'd find time to use it on the enemy.
Amen.
And we realize how well it works.
Amen.
That brother's all out of shape. Well, pray for him. Watch the sword work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Evidence in God's court. Brother, sister, we're going to come into the courts of God either on this side of the judgment or on that side. What do we have to bring in order to be found innocent? It don't take much, brother, sister. There ain't my children aren't even 5 years and under. And there ain't but they've all lied. They've all stole. They've all taken something. Look, guilty. We're all guilty, brother, sister. Now, I believe the blood atones for a child because he hasn't come to the age of accountability. But you and I have. The second you recognize right and wrong, you got to make a choice. And if you tend to make your own right up, does that make sense? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm doing this. That's not going to stand in God's court.
No.
It's going to fall apart. A lot of people say, well, I believe, and we'll bring it right to the message. I believe God sent a prophet. You know, our sister, I wear dresses. That's good. I let my hair grow. That's good. Your brothers, I cleaned up. I stopped smoking. That's all good. Is that what you're bringing into God's court?
Come on.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what, you're still guilty.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Hallelujah. Look, you don't go to court. You don't want to go to God's court alone.
Right.
You need an advocate. You need an attorney. And praise God, God found the best one we could get. Who? Himself! The God that was behind the throne in judgment said, I'll be the attorney. And he made himself out of the throne, came the Lamb. God the Spirit became God the man. And he stood across and said, Father, I know what they've done, but I've atoned for every bit of it. I paid for every one of it. When they should have died, I did die, Father. When they lied, I didn't, Father.
Amen.
Glory to God. When the pain of sin was crushing down on them, Lord, I got underneath and I picked it up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What justifies a man, brothers and sisters? Now here, we've got James here, and I'm sure you all have read, if you're any Bible reader, you've read this before, and there's always the carnal mind will say that Paul and James were preaching two different things. Paul said, there's no man justified by works, we're all justified by faith. And here came James around saying, can faith alone save you? He said, no. So where's the truth of it? The point of it is, you've got to first have enough faith to know that the Bible does not contradict itself.
Amen.
If you're getting a contradiction in your interpretation, I'm here to tell you, you got the wrong interpreter of the Bible.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you his name. Is that all right? It's Satan.
Yes.
If it's any, I mean, down to the littlest iota, brother, sister. If you start feeling that little doubt come by, everybody been there before? Read a scripture and say, well, wait a minute, I thought it meant this over here. Back it up.
That's right.
Say, Father, I shouldn't have been listening to that voice. You speak to me and show me what it means.
Amen.
And you know what? It comes right back together. I'm going to show you that these two preachers, Paul and James, were actually saying the exact same thing both times. You tell me anywhere where James just said you didn't need faith. Where did he say you don't have to have faith, you just need works? There's no such thing found in the Bible. He never said that Abraham had works with no faith. He never said he never put the cart before the horse and said, look at Abraham's mighty works. That's not what he said at all. He said he had faith. And because of that faith, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. So before God, God saw his faith. God knew Abraham totally believed him.
Yes, he did.
How did he know it? Because look, he was taking his son. What was the promise to Abraham? Your son will out of your loins will come a kingdom. And here's the only man that came by God. And here came the same God said, all right, now that you got him, go take him up on a hill and kill him. God, he so believed God, he never even worried about it a bit. We got all these movies interpretations where, oh God, are you sure? Oh, this is so... That ain't what happened at all.
Nope.
He said, oh, okay. He said, well, let's go. And he got his servants around, said, go ahead, pack it all up. And he didn't even tell Isaac nothing about it. That's right, because look, they got all the way there. Look, they had already traveled a ways to go to church that day.
Yeah.
No, they traveled a while, and then they looked afar off, and it was still a 3 days journey.
Yeah.
Him and Isaac going to church one time.
Yeah.
That's right, they went to go build an altar, give sacrifice to the Lord. And everybody thinks that they just went, killed it, and walked on. No, it was a service, brother, sister. They worshiped God, Jehovah. They sang to him, they blessed him, and the sacrifice was there to stand in between them at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And we're here to do the same thing, brother, sister. I hope you didn't come here without a sacrifice.
Amen.
That's why you can't worship.
Amen.
If you came here out of your works, you can't worship because you know you're guilty. So how can you give praise? But if you recognize that the sacrifice that we put right on the front here to make sure you didn't forget where it was, God gave us the sacrifice to wash us clean so when we can worship in a pure conscience.
Amen.
We can worship in spirit and in truth because I'm dead, but yet Christ liveth.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Abraham went all the way there, and the Bible says he didn't even worry about it. He said he got there. He said, I've received him as one from the dead. So if God's going to kill him, I guess he's got to raise him up because I got to have a son out, or I got to have a kingdom out of this man, brother, sister. You say, well, that ain't fair, God. Why'd you make it so hard? Why'd you do that? Because he's testing to see if you actually got the faith you say you do.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. Now listen to this. I got a few quotes I like to read. 1951, My Commission. Now, all you with faith and you're afraid to put it to work, it won't do any good. Why not? Why not just lay everything aside that's unlike faith? Believe and act on what you believe. Not what you feel, not what you sent, your senses bear witness, but what faith bears witness of. Is that right? You have faith in God, then act like you have faith in God. Now, if Abraham says, I got faith in God, but was afraid to offer his son Isaac, then his faith was no good. Paul justified Abraham by faith. Paul was talking about what God seen in Abraham. But James justified him by works. James was talking about what man seen in Abraham. See? God sees your faith. man sees your works. And if you say you have faith and are afraid to step out and make works out of it, then it don't do no good. It will never do any good. You've got to believe it. Amen. Don't skip that step.
Amen.
I can't even get any further than that right now. You've got to believe it. You've got to confess it with your mouth. You've got to accept it, that it's truth. You cannot receive salvation without accepting that it's for you first. You cannot receive deliverance without accepting that it's for you today. Not next week, not 10 years from now. Today, the Holy Spirit's in the service, and I'm here captive, and I accept that I'm here for deliverance.
Amen.
I'm here to accept that I'm not staying in this cage anymore. And I pray you came that way.
Amen.
Don't do works first. Believe first.
Yes, amen.
Exactly.
You've got to believe it. You've got to accept it, and you've got to act like it.
Right.
Amen.
Haven't you? All right, one more here. Works is faith expressed. Now, the two men that were talking on faith, Paul justified Abraham by what God saw in Abraham, but James justified Abraham by what man saw in Abraham. See, now James said he's justified by his works. Paul said he's justified by faith. But see, Abraham believed God, and that's what God saw in him. He believed it. And then when he went to acting as though it was already done, that's what man saw in him. Because not just offering up Isaac, but even before he received Isaac, what did he do? He acted as if it had already happened.
Right.
Why? Because in God's mind it had.
Yes.
And he had accepted it by faith in the seed of faith. That's how God operates, brother, sister.
Yes.
He didn't just say, let there be a world, and then put trees on it. What did he say? Let the seed bear up. God starts in seeds. Why? Because he's showing you he only operates in faith.
Amen.
He operates in a potential. He sends the potential. And then faith is what makes that potential into what it was sent for.
Right.
And God sent his word as a seed even to Abraham. He said, you're going to have a son by Sarah. And he told him 25 years before it happened.
That's right.
All of us say, God, what are you doing? Why are you in a hurry? Why are you telling me that early? Brother, sister, I had the same thing. You know, you get praying about something. I knew I had a call on God in my life, and I prayed about it. And instead of just waiting on the Lord to do it His way, I tried to do it my way, and it don't work.
Right.
Sat around for 7 years, really, and that's what God wanted me to do. Woo, man, we don't believe in that no more. No, if I got a promise, I'm supposed to have it right now. Well, maybe. But faith don't work that way. Faith doesn't worry about time. Faith worries about the Word. If it's the Word, it's true. It's not. It has to happen. There's nowhere else to go. It has to be. And as long as you've really got genuine faith, I don't care if it's today. I don't care if it's tomorrow. I don't care if I see you 10 years from now. Your confession never changes. Isn't that right, Sister Carolyn? She had a whatever wart thing or something right here and confessed for years and years and years. I'm sure plenty of people looked at her funny and said, oh, that poor silly woman. You know, it ain't never going to happen. We all know she's going to eventually have to go to the doctor and do this and that. But see, no, brother, sister, that you hold on to the promise.
Amen. That's right.
And sure, you know, Abraham had his valleys and his ups and downs. And he got down there and, you know, he got into the kingdom and they said, oh my. And that king looked down and saw Sarah and said, whew, that's a pretty lady down there, grandma. You know, yeah. 90 years old, pretty girl down there, pretty. Brother Branham said their bodies were changed, brother, sister. There ain't no king of a nation who looks at a 90-year-old woman and says, yeah, I'll take her. I don't need all these other ones that I got already. No, he looked down and said, that's the one I want. And Abraham kind of, well, you know, just tell me you're my sister. See, it's true, but it's not true.
Right.
Ooh, man. Yeah. I hope this is hitting home. You know, Wednesday night, brother, sister, I went home and, man, I was just feeling bad. I was like, I hope them people know I still love them. I hope. And I actually had to go back and listen to the tape. And I said, Lord, I know this wasn't me. This was you. Because I just began to listen. And you think, you know, how could you say that about your own preaching? But if you do it one time, I know you probably won't, but you understand. If you do it once and then go listen, you're like, man, I didn't want to say half of that. But see, I'm not your father. He is.
Yeah.
See, there's things I tell my kids you'd all be Darrisons to say. There's things I do to my kids that you probably go to jail for. If you just went up there and just whacked one of mine like that? Oh, we don't believe in spankings no more, do we? I don't want to do it. Trust me. After a while, you get the padlocks. My hand's starting to hurt. You know, I'm past that. I got to start something that helps it get done a little bit faster. But why am I doing that? I'm doing that because I'm trying to beat my kid. I'm doing it because I want him to grow up to not be a little snotty brat and learn to respect people and respect elders and do what's right and to be a good kid. Amen. I'm trying to lead them to Christ because that's the only thing that's going to make them really good. That's right. Amen. And God does the same with us, brother, sister. Never buckle under the pressure of God's chastisement, because what does the Bible says? It's only proving you're not His child. But if you can stand chastisement and say, Lord, it's cutting me left and right. It happens every service. Why can't I just feel good one time? I know, brother, sister, I was the one in my family, all right? I was the one that one day I remember going to bed when I was little and I said, praise the Lord. Well, I should have. But I said, I didn't get no spankings today. I was that one. And it just goes to show you that you really got to believe in seed and faith, or you wouldn't have this preacher behind this pulpit. That's right. I tell you what, it takes a lot of faith out of my dad, I'm sure, to be able to watch me remembering what I used to be, and my mom as well. Amen. Hallelujah. But God's your Father. He cares about you. He wants you to do what's right. And James was coming here. Remember how he started the book of James? He says, we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. And he began to show them what they were doing wrong. And he's saying, now we've got these people who say, well, I believe it in my head, but look at their works. None of it's of God. What are you doing? You're deceived, brother.
Amen.
You're deceived because what you're saying is coming out of your life is not what you said, what was in your heart.
Right.
You planted an apple seed. And you're getting peaches.
Right.
That ain't the way God runs His program.
No way.
But see, if you go to the world, you can believe in evolution. Where it don't matter what I plant, if I do enough things to it and genetically split things, it don't matter that I never really got born again. Doesn't matter that I never really got baptized, right, or got the Holy Ghost. I can just go to church and do this certain thing. Are you feeling me today? And just make me into whatever I want to be. Look at me. I'm a mighty Christian. Don't work in God's court. You either come God's provided way. Look, God led Dad to read that today. How many knows that now? The day of Pentecost is the only experience that any believer is supposed to have in this day, brother, sister. And it will always be that way. I don't care how many programs come out. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your works will never match the works of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And brother, sister, I'm trying not to get too fast, but the only works that count in God's court are His own.
Amen.
Woo! I gotta say that one again. The only works that count in God's court are His own, and you must be accounted on that same account as Christ.
Amen.
Is there a way? Yes! Receive ye the Holy Ghost!
Amen.
God's presence comes in you. And what does it do? It brings to life the seed of God that was in you. And it spurts out who? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the works that you do, it's as Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
Jesus even modeled it perfect for us. He said, the Son does nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father doeth.
Amen.
Even He didn't take credit as the virgin-born sons of God. And we feel like we shouldn't be part of that, but that's the way God established it. You are His workmanship. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Can I just read here for a little while? Can you bear it this afternoon? I love the Word, brother, sister. Let me keep reading here on this quote. Works is faith express. He says, but see, Abraham believed God, and that's what God saw in him. He believed it. But then, when he went to acting as though it was already done, that's what man saw in him. That's the same as it is to us, because our works express what faith we have. But if we're afraid to act on what we believe, then we do not believe it.
Amen.
See, you've got to believe it. Abraham's works was expressing his faith he had in God's promise. Now, Abraham, remember, he was 90 years old or 100, and Sarah was 90 years old. Now they were well stricken in age, past childbearing. Had been for many, many years, and they had lived together as husband and wife since they were young, and no children. But yet God had told him when he was 75, and Sarah 65, you're going to have a baby. And he believed God's promise. He believed it. Now see, he made ready everything for this baby, see? That's what God saw when he believed God. And man saw what he did to express what he believed. And that's the same thing that works tonight, the same way it is with us. It has been revealed to him, see? It had been revealed to him, so he believed it so and was acting as though it had already took place. See, brother, sister, a lot of people think that as long as you say you've got faith, it's okay to live any way you want to, do it anything you want. And if anybody says something against you, they're really just trying to destroy the faith that you have. When in reality, I can't judge a man by what his faith is anyways. I have to judge you by your works. Because the only one who really sees your genuine faith or not is God.
Right. Amen.
Are you hearing me now? He will judge us all according to our faith. Don't get me wrong. If you don't believe it, you will be guilty. I don't care if you dupe me, you dupe everyone in the church and everyone in the world that you're a real Christian. At the end of the day, if you didn't really believe it, just like Judas, hid right there with the disciples, did miracles just the same. He was the treasurer. He looked just like, he was so good at preaching just like anyone else that when he said, one is going to betray me, Peter and James looked at each other. And Peter said, is it me? Judas sitting right there. He sent the 12 out. Guess what? Judas is one of them.
That's right.
Snuck right on in. But what happened is one day his works caught up. His work showed he never believed it in the first place. He was in. Look, you can't change what you are. Your predestination, one way or the other. God either chose you or he didn't. And you will become that. Hypocrisy is a temporal condition, brother, sister. You can fake it for a little while. Then why don't we as Christians just quit trying to be sinners all the time and recognize I'm born to be a Christian. I'm predestinated to be this way. I'm not being fake when I get in the Spirit. That's what I am. I'm not just getting emotional when I praise God. That's what I plan on doing for all eternity because it's my makeup. I'm made a Christian. I'm made to praise God. I'm made to believe in supernatural. I'm made to have divine healing. Come on, somebody, hear me. I'm made to prophesy. I'm made to speak in tongues. I'm made to feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm the ones the angels are supposed to be visiting.
Is it?
Brother Branham said that. He said, why don't we see more angel visitations? Just really from the family altars at home.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said, you get a good praying home, you'll see those things.
That's right.
Amen. You will. That's true. Hallelujah. Jesus told us to judge men this way. How many knows that? Everybody thinks, oh, don't judge me. I can't stand that no more. It is the same thing to you. Just kind of, ugh. Don't judge me. Oh, really? Okay, I'm going to shoot your child. Don't judge me.
Right.
Oh, that's different. No, it ain't. You judge me by my works.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe in murder. I just did it. Can't you tell? Can't you tell? It's just like, I think it was Brother Craig Brewer said it one time. He said, I go up to a tree and he says, I'm an apple tree. Get looking around and said, I don't know, there's a lot of pine cones around here, boy. No, I'm telling you, I'm an apple tree. I got honey crisp. I mean, I'm just as good as can be. And crack, crack, crack. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it sounds good. You know, you might be able to justify it on paper, but this is what I see.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And if I was venturing without authority, it'd be a little bit more shaky to judge one another. But when you judge it by the Scriptures, that's the will of God.
Amen.
We're supposed to judge men by our works. We're supposed to judge each other. We're really supposed to judge ourselves by our works.
That's right.
That's why when we come to communion, it says, let a man judge himself. So he doesn't come into condemnation. Let a man get right with God before he gets there. So when he takes communion, he can do it with a free conscience.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
And we really should live that way all the time, but God knows how we are as human and ordained a sacrament that when we take it, we double check up.
Uh-huh.
Right. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. Matthew 7, turn with me now. I want to get through some scriptures here. Because I don't believe in venturing without authority, brother, sister. If it ain't in the Word, you don't got no right to preach it. You don't got no right to testify of it or try to. It has to be in there. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The Word is our absolute, brother, sister. The message didn't come to bring us off. It came to show us what was laying there the whole time.
That's right.
And look, you can't find the right interpretation outside of it.
Right.
You can go, I mean, you go all the way down with, well, the apostolic, that's close enough. No, stick with it for a while. Yeah. Realize some of the things you got to get into. Even some of these little ideas that's come. You know why they call them message doctrines? Because they're not in the Bible.
Yeah.
If you've got a message doctrine, you don't have the message. You denominated off the back of the ministry of William Branham. That's what you did. And God didn't send a prophet to do that. He sent a prophet to bring us right back where we should have been the whole time.
Yeah.
I hope that thought's not getting in here that we're some different group and now we classified ourselves and we're... No, that ain't work. Yeah, I don't care. God will bypass any of us to go to apostolic and give them the Holy Ghost if they'll believe it.
Uh-huh.
Well, the problem is that leaders now won't preach how to get the Holy Ghost. They don't even preach that there is one anymore. You say, is that possible? Happened in the days of the Ephesians. How many knows that? He said they came to Paul and he says, we never even heard of whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. What did Paul say? What are you baptized to? What have you been doing this whole time? What do you mean you ain't heard of no Holy Ghost? I want our brother Brandon to come back to our mess church and say the same thing. Oh, man, I ain't trying to go this way. Hallelujah.
Come on.
This is scriptural, brother, hallelujah, sister, because it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what's in our head. What works are coming out.
Amen.
You show me where Brother Bram said the gifts of the Spirit don't work in the church no more.
Come on.
Amen. You show me where the supernatural is supposed to be here every time we gather.
Amen.
You show me where we're supposed to let sickness and despair and depression just take over because it's just the age we live in. That ain't what it came. It came to break the seals open. It came to show you your identification past all of this life down here and show you that you're represented up there and everything underneath you is to come to you.
Amen.
Everything of the devil's way under your feet, brother, sister.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew 7:16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Wait, you got the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
What kind of tree are you then? You're a good tree. So why? Oh, I'm just so bad. I just can't do nothing for the king. That's not possible.
Impossible.
Your old man's dead.
Amen.
You're sitting over there talking to a grave and saying, oh, why you always got to bother me all the time?
Right.
My old God, why always got to blow? Why always got to get mad? Quit talking to a grave and go talk to a risen Savior who ain't in the grave no more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. John 3. And instead of doing what most denominations do, is just read 16 and stop. How about we keep reading? How is it? I believe all the word, brother, sister. And that includes John 3:16. That includes these promises of God, but it includes the stuff that most people don't like to hear either. Just like I can't stand it with someone go back here and quote something out of the Old Testament, give a person no consequences. Where do you think that came from? Oh, probably the Quran or something. You know, go kill all 42 of his sons and hang them up on trees. How many knows that? Saul or 30 or something like that. No context, no, just running off on whims. And why? Because they've got a perception of who Jesus was. They got a perception that everyone loved Jesus. Oh, really? Is that why they killed him?
Yes.
Oh, is that why they ran him out of towns? Is that why many groups were coming up with plots to kill him and the man he just resurrected from the dead?
That's right.
Okay, he was not popular. Why? Because he told the truth. And the truth will never be popular amongst those who hate it. Can I say that again? Hear it for yourself. The truth will never feel good to those who are loving lies.
Amen.
And don't get all upset, brother, sister, when you meet somebody who's like that. I don't even care if they're in church. If they get offended by the Bible, it's really hard for you to say, I judged you.
Right.
If you're a Buddhist or something, sure, go on. Live it any way you want to. I obviously don't believe you're saved. But if you claim to be a Christian, the Bible should not offend you.
Amen.
You should be able to say amen to every word. And that goes for the Jesus that said, who saved the harlots, the same Jesus who said, you Pharisees are going to hell because you don't believe I'm He.
Uh-huh.
It's the same God all the time. The same God that extends mercy is the same God that'll bring judgment when you turn it down.
Uh-huh.
There's not two, three, there's one God.
Amen.
There's not an Old Testament God who's mean and grumpy and hates everyone, and then a New Testament God that just loves everybody. It's the same God all the time.
Yeah.
As much as they look at doom and gloom in the Old Testament, how many times have you seen grace and mercy in the Old Testament?
That's right. That's right.
David himself, he just committed murder. He stole a man's wife, had an illegitimate baby by it. The baby died. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Because of his sin, his whole house was a house wreck because of that. And God told him, you're a man after my own heart.
Amen.
God looks past. See, God saw David's faith.
That's right.
His works. He had the right works too, don't get me wrong, but he was still under the Old Testament, couldn't get under the Old Covenant, couldn't get free from his own sin, and he paid for all those mistakes, but God still saw his faith And it justified him. Why? Because when the prophet came,
yes, that's right,
and said, "There was, I'm just going to preach. Is that all right? Maybe we'll get to this. Maybe we'll save it for next week. Who knows? Or 2 weeks from now, I guess." The prophet came to him and said, "There was a man. He had a whole flock of sheep. And there was one other man who was blind and had one little lamb that led him around, and the family cared for it, treated it like you would a pet or a dog or something. And this rich man, he had a guest come over, and he says, hey, I don't really want to kill any of mine. I'll kill his off and we'll eat it."
Right.
And they said, what should be done to that man? And it said, David got out of his seat in anger and said, "That man shall die."
That's right.
And the prophet looked him right in the face and said, "You're the man."
Right.
And no, later kings after that who weren't spiritual, who didn't have the works of God, got mad and put those prophets in jail, didn't they?
Right.
Zechariah was thrown in jail by the king, or was it King Zechariah? Threw the prophet in jail either way because he said, "You're going to be rebuked. You're going to go to Babylon." He said, "No, I'm not," and threw him in jail. Well, guess what happened? But David didn't do that. What did David do? He recognized, he says, "You're the man." I love this. He even said, "You saw Bathsheba," and the Lord says, "What I even have kept her from you."
Right.
If you just would have served me. Why? Wouldn't it have been so much better for Uriah to go out there in a battlefield? How many knows the story? I'm trying to paraphrase a little bit, but go out there with his sword and just take out the enemy all day long until he just exhausted himself to death as a warrior. Put a monument up, Uriah the Hittite, the great warrior for Israel. Instead, you know what happened? Put him on the front lines. Here, he gave the letter to Uriah.
That's right. Yes, he did.
That says, to give to his captain. Look how much he trusted Uriah. Look what kind of character that man had.
Wow.
David knew he could hand him the letter, he'd never look at it, when it had his death warrant in it. For his own lust, so he could have his wife. Take that letter, go give it to Joab. Joab read it. Never even said, maybe we should do something else. You know, nope, he said, put him on the front lines.
Yeah.
Look, you never see Joab get in trouble for it. That'd teach a lot of us wives, we listen. Come on. You're not, if your husband says it, and I'm not saying trying to get out of the word now, but you just obey, you go ahead and let him make his decision. If it's wrong, you won't be held accountable. No, you won't. Your husband will. And that'll make a husband pray, and that'll make a wife obedient. That's really the way. it'll bring the home together. When you recognize that you're not living two parallel lives, first off, and you're not living two against lives, but you're living two lives.
Right.
It makes the scriptural promises make sense. So anyways, Uriah gives a letter to Joab. Joab opens up, says, put him on the front lines, and then when you get close to the wall, back up and let him die. That's exactly what happened. God said, look, I would have gave her to you. You've already got 500 wives. Said, you deserve to die, but I forgive you.
Hallelujah.
People think they want judgment as long as somebody else is a sinner. Somebody, as long as they did bad against me, oh man, that preacher's going to hell. He's serpent seed, forget it.
Sure.
That's right. But then all of a sudden it comes to you and you said, oh, have mercy. Have mercy. That's right. If you accept mercy, then you better extend it, brother, sister.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Never did Nathan say, it's okay you did that, David. He said, but no, the Lord forgives you and you're going to reap for it, but you'll be saved. Glory to God. He said the same to Saul. He said, you're going to go up to this battle. You've been backslid all these years. You're going to go up there. You're going to die and all your sons. But Samuel said, you're going to come meet me.
Amen.
Glory to God. And brother, sister, if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, been saved by the grace of God, you're going to be there one way or another. That's right. And if you've got a seed of God in you, you have to come to that place. You might as well just go ahead and yield to it and say, Father,
hallelujah,
I'm tired of reaping for all this nonsense I've been doing. Make me right before you.
Because
you're still judged by your works, brother, sister. You still are. On this side, you'll be on the next side. And you will be. I'm just going to get to that here in a minute. Go to John 3:16. Hallelujah. I hope that was good for you, that little side there, little rabbit trail, but we'll just rabbit right back over. For John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, all right, don't skip over that again, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifested, that they are wrought in God. Remember I told you earlier that the only works you can bring into God's court are His own. And brother, sister, if you've come to the light of God, you've come to Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins, you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and received the light of God into your soul, your works from then on are wrought in God.
In God, amen.
I'm not in the world anymore. I'm in Christ. And what I do in Christ is accounted to His account.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why I want to come to the light, because then it'll expose that I'm doing what's right, brother, sister. If you're running from the presence of God, it shows you're not doing right.
Amen.
Amen. It shows you right there what the demon spirits do and why they hate the gospel, why they hate church, why they hate people that live holy. It's not because of you. It's not because you're stuck up or something. It's because you're putting on light.
Amen.
And they got this thing shadowing the darkness, and they know if they get too close, it's going to show what they are.
Right.
I've had students tell me that. I'm just telling you. He said, man, when I go to your church, I just feel like dirt. I feel so bad. I was like, that's good. Now act upon it. Because I did too. I felt like dirt. I felt like shame. I felt like despair. What'd you do about it? I fell on my knees and I found the one who could get me out. That's why God leads you to it. That's why God brings the law of God on you to show you how guilty you are. So you'll come to redemption before He has to judge you on that side of mercy.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is the condemnation, that we commit adultery. Is that what it said?
Nope.
It's that you don't believe God.
Uh-huh.
You don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you did, you'd come to the light. It would expose your deeds. It would take away the dark. Just like that publican, he said he came to the house and said, I'm not even worthy to lift my head. And he beat on his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What did Jesus say? That man left justified.
That's right.
What does justified mean? That means that the court, the judge stands up there and says, court adjourned, innocent. That man was never there. He had nothing to do with it. I don't even know what you're talking about, devil. And when Jesus Christ's blood comes on the altar of God, God does not see anything you did outside of Him.
Amen.
He only sees what you've done in Him.
Amen.
Woo, glory. I didn't close that to say I'm finished. Huh? Y'all thought I was done. No, I got to get to Paul real quick. Can we go? There are a few scriptures here. Ephesians 2. I said I was going to show you Paul and James were saying the same thing. Ephesians 2. And then we're going to go to Romans. Thank the Lord. He's worthy of praise this afternoon. Ephesians 2 in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And what do, again, most people do? Nope, totally contradicted what James said.
Yeah.
He said man's not justified by faith alone. He's justified by faith in his works. How about you read the next verse? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Our works are in God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Uh-oh. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not a suggestion, not a hope so, maybe so. He ordained that the Christian, once in Christ, would do good works.
Amen.
What does ordained mean? It means He planned it. It means He drew it out and says, this is the way I'm going to get it done. And what I love about it is when God drew a blueprint, it was already real.
Amen.
It's not just a piece of paper that just has some. His word wasn't just laying there dormant. It was all in seed form, but it was real.
Amen.
It was real and it was already existing. And then He just brought it down through a process of time to bring out what it always was. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
And brother, sister, when you begin to recognize that the only reason you're even here today, hearing the gospel truth, is there's something God placed in you.
Amen.
And it's trying to push its way out. What? It's trying to push out Christ. And what's it going to do? It will push out good works, brother, sister. Yes, it will. It'll push out a life that's lived for others. Sure, it'll push out a life that makes people offended.
Yeah.
But it raises the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll make religious people hate you, but it'll raise up daughters who were dead for hours. Do you know what Jesus had to do to get to Jairus' daughter? I mean, who's that? First he got there. First, before he was on his way there. What happened? He's got a whole crowd thronging him. He's trying to get to one request. And all these people are touching him. One woman that actually had faith. Her faith didn't say, well, I just get healed. No, her faith caused the work. It says, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And she got up there and look. Do you feel that, Brother John? He could have had, and Jesus had a garment way down here, and then she touched the hem of it. And Jesus stopped. He said, who touched me? And what happened to Peter? Peter, good old carnal mind like we all are most time. So what are you talking about, man? Everybody's touching you. That's what he said. He said, look, they didn't talk fancy language either. He was known for talking like common people. Peter said, what you talking about? Everybody touching you, man. He said, no, I've received virtues going on me.
Amen.
I've received a real faith touch. I've received something that brought the presence of God. And the woman came trembling. She didn't know. She thought she was going to get in trouble for doing that because she knew, I'm healed. Hallelujah. There's just something about it when you know you actually struck God. I don't care what you think. I know it happened.
Amen.
And she was healed. He said, daughter, be of good cheer. You hear the Father speaking there? Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
And God, you know, took all that time to distract him, you know, from where he was going, Jerry started, and he went back. And what happened? Here come messengers saying, she's dead. Just let it go. It's all right. Don't trouble him no more. She's dead. What did Jesus say? She's not dead. She's asleep. Well, they said, all right. Like we did with Lazarus. Our friend Lazarus asleep. His disciples, again, carnally minded. Oh, okay, good. I'm tired too. I wish I was sleeping. He said, no, he's dead. Let me talk like you do. But I'm going to go wake him.
Amen.
The same with Jairus. She's not dead. She's just asleep. Christians don't die, brother, sister. You got eternal life and you can't die no more than God could die.
Yes,
and he got to Jairus' daughter. And they're all boo-hooing and crying and saying, oh, the devil, he's so strong and all these trials so hard. And that's what we do when we boo-hoo about the promise of God. Oh, the doctor said, I'm never going to do this and I can't never do this. And what did Jesus say? Why you make all this ado? Why are you making this big fuss? Why don't you just stop it? Get out of the way. She's not dead. She's just asleep. And you watch people that really believe God and you say, you need to go to the hospital. You said, no, I'm good. I feel great. I'm healed. Shut up. And they say, oh, Mr. Stuck Up. No, I just believe God.
Amen.
I got no time for your unbelief. That's what Jesus said. He had a mission. He didn't care about hurting them people's feelings. He's got a daughter that needs raised from the dead, and he wanted to get there much more than hurting people's feelings.
Amen.
And if I see a soul in captivity, I'll keep us all here all day long. I don't care about your feelings. I care about souls that want to get right, want to get healed, want to come to God. We can offend every carnal spirit in the world. That's fine. I want to get to a real genuine experience in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Is that your desire too?
Yes.
Amen. That's why we come here. Now believe it with all your heart. Jesus believed it. He didn't doubt it at all. He said, get out of here. Get out of the way. He said, I want everyone gone. I can't. I got no time for all this unbelief. He said, James, John, and Peter took a few of them in there. He said, just come, because they didn't have it either. He said, just come watch. Let me show you how it's done. So later when Tabitha dies, you can do this, Peter.
Amen.
That's right. Go, or Dorcas, whatever you want. I think it's both her names. That's right. He went in there. Said, she's not dead. She sleeps. And they began to say, oh, you insensitive jerk. Don't you know she's dead? Why are you saying all that? And they began to boo him. Boo, get out of here. Man, you done wrecked up our town anyways. You made all them pigs go off the hill and I got to work two jobs and everything else. Not knowing that the Son of God's there trying to save their souls. And he goes, says, just get on out. And he got in there. You know what? Raised her from the dead.
Yep.
Went out, presented Jairus' daughter and did what, of course, everyone would do, right? See, I told you. See, that shows that you're trying to be justified by man.
Right.
You don't need to be justified by man. By your confession, you're justified before men by your works.
Amen.
Do you see now? Who could say, and the Pharisees admitted it later on. They said, what are we going to do, guys? We know she's raised from the dead.
Right.
We know Lazarus came from the dead. How are we going to get her? Because the works that Jesus was doing already justified him.
Yes.
that he was the Son of God. He said it later on. He says, even if you can't believe me, believe the works. They testify. They tell you who I am. And God has done the same in this day, brother, sister. Sent a prophet around the world 7 times, identified time after time after time, that the living presence of Jesus Christ is still here in the same power of the resurrection.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And if that wasn't enough, he does it right here in our assembly as well. Amen. And he will anywhere the word is preached, he will always witness it. Don't go fighting words. That's a waste of time. Let works, let the works of God go through you and it'll justify you.
Amen.
That's right. I've had people try to come against me, even at school and stuff. And you know what happens? Some student will raise up and say, he don't do that. They'll say, oh, you're trying to force it on kids. And all that. It's only happened a few times. I'm not afraid to testify. Amen. We're supposed to, actually.
Amen.
That's a commandment from Jesus.
Amen.
Go into all the world. That includes public school. That includes our work. That includes our homes. That includes our neighborhoods.
Amen.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they say, you're trying to force it on all this stuff. And the student came and said, he don't do that at all. So somebody asks, he'll answer. He'll talk about it. He ain't afraid to hurt your feelings. But he don't make you do it or nothing. Because you don't get saved that way.
No.
That's trying to get works without faith.
Amen.
But if you get someone to really believe it, really have faith, the works will follow.
Yes, sir.
There ain't no getting around it. That's why when you see a man who preaches that we don't need the works of God no more, you automatically, boom, right now, no, he don't have faith. He don't have the faith, and he's reprobate.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, glory.
Right.
It's because we just read it there. Actually, let's go to Romans, and I'm gonna bring this to a close here in a second. Romans 2:13. The man who just said we're saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. I know we're leaving today, but I ain't going to take service short for it. Dad, I think you were there that one time. We had a minister got flown in from Louisiana when I was going to a church. He told us right off the bat, I'm going to have to leave right away. I got to get back to my flight and get back home and stuff. It ruined the whole service. Because the whole time you're just like, is he done? Is he done? Are we going to quit? See, what do you mean? I know a prophet who just felt a leading of the Lord. Said, I know I got a flight to Louisville, but Lord told me to go this way.
Yep.
And I've heard ministers that went there and actually looked at it. That house was 5 miles away from the airport.
Oh, wow.
We think he just went down the road a little bit. Oh, there it was. No. He walked a little while and you can see why he was dealing in faith. He said, Lord, are you sure about this? And go to stop him. He says, keep going. All right. And he kept going. What did he eventually find? He said, I found a typical Aunt Jemima sitting there with a bandana on her head, dew on her back from the morning laying there. Said, hi, parson.
Yep.
He said, how'd you know I was a parson? I already saw you coming. Where's the briefcase? Because in the vision, he said, I left it back at the airport. Went in there, and what happened? The young man that had, he was syphilis from a social disease and was going to die and things. And he said he was sitting there shivering, saying, it's dark, mama, it's dark. He said he got down and prayed. He said, have I ever heard somebody pray a prayer? I knew that woman had talked to Jesus before.
Amen.
And I heard, let her pray then. And I went and prayed. And after I got to praying, he said the boy began to say, oh, mama, it's getting light in the room. It's getting light in the room. What happened? That prophet had to leave his obligation in life. His things that we have to do. No, you don't. You serve the Lord first.
Amen.
You have to serve the Lord first. And look, all those things will be accounted to you. That shows when you have faith, because the Bible already tells us that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to you.
Right.
I've learned that in myself, brother, sister, where you try. I'm one that likes to have control. I like to have things in order. I like to know where it's going and what's coming. And I believe there's spiritual principle to that. A wise man foreseeth the evil and prepares for it. But at the end of the day, if I'm not putting the Lord first, all that falls apart.
Amen.
All of a sudden, this breaks, that breaks, this, I can't even keep up with it. But when you put the Lord first, you pray every morning, all of a sudden, your water heater don't go out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The furnace never needs to check. The stuff just keeps working, your car keeps running. And then you start, I need to do this, and you never pray, and all of a sudden, you can't even keep up with everything's breaking.
Sure.
Yep. Oh, God help us.
Yes.
Faith without works. See, you're trying to do works, you got no faith. Put faith first, and you'll do the right works.
Amen.
That was all free, because remember, Brother Branham, just to finish out, when he got back, what happened? Right when he walked in, they said, last call for Louisville.
Yep.
When he got on the flight, God held that plane there until he got ready for it.
That's right.
Because that plane might have been shipping people to businesses, but God didn't care about all that. He had a prophet that he was going to send somewhere. You tell me God worries about like things? Yes, sir. He worries about his children. Amen. All right. Romans 2:13. Remember this again. This is the same man who said, we're saved by grace.
not of works, lest any man should boast, also said this, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile excusing or accusing or else excusing one another. Turn over to chapter 3, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. All right? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify, we're talking about being in the court of God, holy and pure and not guilty, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Why? Because Jesus said, man, you guys are sitting here fumbling through all these testaments trying to figure out what you need to do and what not to do and do this and do that and don't do this, do that, and do that. He said, you know what? I'll sum it all up for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And love your neighbor as yourself. We're done.
Amen.
That's the law of faith, because that takes faith. It takes faith to love the unlovable. It takes faith to love those that hate you, to put your enemies' needs in front of your own. Oh, come on now. This is how you get justified before God, because it shows you're dead. Because the only man who ever could do that was Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful for him that he never even looked for one of his own needs, but he was only concerned about mine, brother. He was only concerned about yours, sister. When he saw the cross coming and he prayed and he knew how bad it would be, what did he say? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Amen.
What would it have done for him to say, oh, Lord, I got, you know, Father, I've got faith. I've got faith. I know I'm the Son of God. And then never went to the cross.
Right.
Faith without works is dead.
Right.
Oh, Lord, I believe I'm going to be in a rapture. I believe I'm the bride. Really? Why don't you do something the bride's supposed to be doing?
Yeah. Come on.
Saying the bride's supposed to be doing something? There's works the brides are supposed to be. Oh, my. That theology was going through the message at the end of Brother Branham's. Because they said, oh, or should we just sit here and get ready? Should we send missionaries into the field? He said, God forbid, of course. So we need every man we can get. Get out there. He said, quit sitting on your couch. Do something.
Uh-huh.
If you can't preach, go pass a tract or say hi or testify or say something. Do something, because sitting there ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
Right. Amen. I thought I was going to close. We're going to go Matthew 25. You got to read this. Amen. Because now what's bringing on home? Right to the bride of Christ, which we are, that's what we're looking for. I want to be the bride, Lord. We've been in other ages. We've had other definitions of what it takes to be a real Christian. I want the true God-given evidence that I'm in the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And God has provided that to us, brother, sister. Yes, He has. Matthew 25, and if you look here, this is actually the seal to us, the seventh seal being opened. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Works without faith. Faith without works, it doesn't matter. If you're missing one of them, it doesn't light a fire. That's right, because too many people don't have a lamp. They don't have any prayer life. So what happens when the Holy Ghost comes? It's just a wildfire and it just burns up everything. Other people got lamps full of oil to the brim, but they ain't got no life. There's no faith to make it even live. What good does oil do to light your way if you won't light it?
Amen.
Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is just hypocrisy.
Uh-huh.
Either way, you ain't going to light a candle and know where you're going.
Sure.
And the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, oh my. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards also came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man cometh. Oh, I can just do whatever I want. I can just, you know, I believe it and that's good enough. No, there was works done when these people identified as being the wise virgins. They didn't just sit there and say, well, at least I got a lamp. At least I got some oil. No, they were prepared. They knew the bridegroom is coming. They knew, I can't just say I believe it. There should be something out of my life living. And brother, sister, don't we worry. That's what Paul was telling us about when we should seek our own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
Is that we don't worry about what anybody else thinks. I'm looking at my own life and saying, Lord, are the works of God in my life?
Right.
And if they're not, we ought to repent quickly and get right with God and get back in the Spirit of God. And then those works will flow out again. Maybe you've never even been there before. Well, it's time to come today, brother, sister. Because you can't have one without the other. We've got to have it all.
Amen.
And the bride in this day is predestinated to have it. She's predestinated to be just like Jesus Christ was.
Exactly. That's right.
Hallelujah. Revelation 19, it says the wife, it says, we rejoice. And I'm just going to go there. I'm just going to read one verse. It's 19, I think, 7. Yeah, it's 19:7. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It's the same thing Jesus was telling him about. He said, the wife of God is a virgin. The wife of God is a virgin who's active, who doesn't just have faith as the foolish did, but has faith with works. Look, they adhered to the bridegroom. They said, that's the bridegroom. Sure, that's the bridegroom. Sure, we've got at least a lamp. Sure, we believe we need to have a light. But they had no faith to make it live. And when the bridegroom came, they weren't ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, or Brother Bram says this. I'm going to close on this, these few quotes here. See, y'all get ready. Notice Jesus had said, this is works as faith expressed. Listen now. Only believe, for all things are possible to them that believe. Faith and works are husband and wife. They work together. The husband works with the wife and the wife with the husband. They identify one another. Like a man says he's married, and yet he can't produce and show that he has a wife. You doubt his claim, see? A man says, I'm married. Where's your wife? Oh, I don't know about that. See, be kind of a hard thing for me to believe him. I say, well, where's your wife? Well, I don't know. I ain't going to believe it. So you see, if you have to say, if you have what you say you have, I have faith, how are you going to show me you got faith? By your works, see? I'm married. How do you know you're married? This is my wife. See, there you are. I'm married. This is my husband. I'm healed. How do you know? My work shows my faith. See,
okay.
See what you're speaking of? Your faith is what God sees in you. Your works is what the other people see is in you. That's for difference between James and Paul here explaining about Abraham. They never contradicted one another. They was both the same. Married. So is faith that doesn't produce works. Anyone has a right to doubt your testimony. Anyone has a right to doubt your testimony. If they see you doing the same things they're doing, they have a right to say you're not being a Christian. Don't you get mad about it. Repent.
Amen.
You say, well, they're this, they're that. See, you're worried about them. What about you?
Amen.
We're all worried about the ball game, just the same way they are.
Yeah.
Why are they going to believe our testimony? Come on. We're worried about the same new, things they got on the news as they are. They know we're reading the same things they are. What's the difference?
Right.
When you got a consecrated life, I love when this happens anymore. They said, you don't know about such and such? I said, I never even heard about it. I said, how you never heard about that? I don't read that stuff.
Right.
Like, well, what do you do? I was like, can you tell me who Caleb was?
Yep.
Caleb who? Okay. How about David? No. Jesus? Oh, yeah, I heard that before. Okay. See, we all have things that we know. Why don't we make it things we actually need to know?
Yeah.
And look, there's even a good intellectual side to this. Just reading the Bible in itself, at least put stuff in here. That's not a bunch of trash off the internet.
Amen.
And it's, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, it's easier to read junk off the internet than it is to read your Bible. Because
yeah.
Your flesh likes that. Flesh don't like the word. It knows what it does. It fights against it because it knows if you read it too much, you might start believing it.
Right.
The And then it's not going to get what it wants no more. And it's just like a little crybaby, won't it? Just whine and boo-hoo. But you know, you don't need this flesh. You need the gospel. Because if we do that, you're going to die too, buddy. But if we do what the Word said, you get to live eternally as well. So why don't you just come on along and believe the Word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my last one, I promise. I appreciate patience this morning. Scriptural Signs of the Time, 1964. Oh, we can walk up and make a decision, put our name on the book, and go out and live with the world. That's what the world is wanting. That's what the church is wanting. It's wanting to maintain its confession and believe that it is a Christian and live any way it wants to. Don't worry. You're going to get it in the ecumenical council.
Sure.
They'll let you do anything you want to. Even this pope. How many's ever kept up at all? He's the most liberal pope they've ever had. He's letting them do anything. You can't. Don't worry about Muslims, gays. They're all saved. Who is lost? Somebody who just doesn't say the Catholic Church is the greatest thing in the world, which will be you and die. But remember, the bride, how many's the bride this afternoon?
Amen.
Will be a called out, separate and different, filled, Holy Ghost born, washed in the blood of the Lamb. She'll abstain from everything that's filthy around her husband. She is a chaste virgin, pure by the Word. The Word and her are the same. As a man and his wife become one in union, so does the real, genuine Church of God. When he becomes in Christ, the Bible punctuated with an amen, every promise. Don't make any difference what the denomination says. The soul that's in the believer, punctuate it because it's the Word in him speaking out. The Word is sharpened two-edged sword to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says so. That's how it's vindicated and known. Brother, sister, at the end of the day, you don't need to worry about me judging you. You don't need to worry about a church judging you. You don't need to worry about your mama, your daddy, your son. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what will really matter is Him.
Yes.
Where are you in His judgment? If you can look at your life and recognize that you don't have the works of God, you shouldn't know where you fall in that category right now.
Right.
If you're still loving the things of the world. Look, we know what John said. He said, he that loves the things of the world or loves the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father's not in him. But I believe, no. Your faith without works is going to kill you. That it's the same as what we preached a few services ago. That good enough attitude will kill you. It's got to be, Lord, every fiber, every motive, every thought, every part of my heart, I want it to be your will. I want, not because I have to, but there's just such a chain of love in my heart for you because I've got the love of God. How does it come in? By the Holy Ghost. It's God's love comes in you and it just begins to push out faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, as we know, Second Peter 1 says, all these things, what are those attributes of Christ? They're not things that you're trying to plug on. They're not works without faith. It's because I believe. It's because I believe in the promises of God. Even David, he said, I looked at the rich and I began to despair. I looked at the vile and the evil and the just profane, and they were just prospering on every side. They had big houses. And this is coming from a king who had a lot of things. And he said, I just watched them prosper on every side. And I said, what's the point in serving God? He said, I would have slipped. I would have fallen. I would have went into despair. But then I remembered their end. And then I remembered one day, they're going to get an old crippled body. All them riches are going to go to someone else. And they're going to go to a sinner's hell. And then I remembered my end. I'm redeemed by the grace of God. I don't have to worry about that at all. Brother, sister, we can live in that today.
Sure.
If you can identify in the Holy Ghost, you have the ticket to heaven.
Amen.
You have a ticket to a rapture. Everybody's worried about getting in. Just get in Christ.
Yes.
You're in. The rapture is Christ. It's the bride. That's the point. It's to bring the union up to the marriage. See, the only thing that could be holding it back is we're not married yet. Where are you at, brother, sister, this afternoon? Where are we at in God's court? Let's stand together before the Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. It's 3:16 if you don't know it. Lord, prepare me. I'm going to go with F, Dad. You're going to have to help me this time.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy.
make it your prayer this afternoon. Sing in the Spirit to God.
With thanksgiving.
Get in that place of just you and the Lord Jesus.
I'll be
worship Him now. Say, Lord, fill me.
Lord, prepare me. Give me a sanctuary. Pure and holy. Tried and true. I'll be a living sanctuary.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer this afternoon? Sing it again with all your heart.
Lord, prepare.
That's why He sent His Word, to prepare our hearts for His Word.
To be a sanctuary, all pure and holy, tried and true.
Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
And with thanksgiving, I'll be a
plays that soft. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Hallelujah. With every head bowed. Hallelujah. Some of you already praying through. Go ahead. This is a time for an altar call. But the altar ain't just some wood that we could put up here. It ain't just some religious motion. The altar is your heart. And in His presence after a message like this, we know what the Lord's trying to get us to recognize. Where do you find yourself, brother, sister? Where are the works of God in your life? You can have them. They're for you. You're ordained to it. But I want you now in His presence. Is there any heart that would say, Lord, I haven't been serving You right. I need something in my life to change me. Hallelujah. You're embarrassed, don't worry. There's hands all over this place because we're those honest people who want to be right with God. Don't you be embarrassed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed. The reason you stay ashamed is because you won't just confess it and get it out of your life. Instead, what does the devil do? He comes and he makes you still identify with that sin. Where if you would just surrender it, you wouldn't be identified no more. It would die. It would perish in the blood of the Lamb. And instead, you'd be identified with Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone seeking the Holy Ghost would say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost today. Fill me. Lord, I've heard about it. I believe it, Lord. But God, I want the work to follow now. I'm putting my heart there. Say, Lord, I need it. I need it today. I can't live the way I have. I've tried to be religious. I've tried to do these works. I've tried to go this. But where's that faith in my heart that knows, that I know, that I know that I'm one of Yours, Lord? Father, seal me in to where I don't have to doubt anymore. Believe it now. You can't skip that. Don't skip it. Believe it with all your heart. Say, Lord, I believe that. Even if you've been saved, I'm not taking it away from you, brother, sister. God saved you. Praise the Lord. That don't mean you didn't dry up on Him. Say, Lord, fill me with just that Holy Ghost water. Water of the Word brings me back to that joy and peace, to that first love again, to where I don't got to force myself, but there's just a river of living water flowing through me. And I know trials are coming and everything. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. Hallelujah. God bless each one. God sees your heart. Now you keep praying on through. You break on through that wall. You break through that complex. You break through that old formal life. And say, Lord, I'm going to pour out my heart to you. That's the main thing we don't do. We give him everything but our heart. And that's the only thing he wants. He don't want your works. He wants your heart. He'll do the works after that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Christian friends, do you feel his presence here with you? He's come here to identify with you. To show you that he cares about you. You know you're under the presence of something more than just me or this building. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the same one that fell at Pentecost. It's the same one that loved you. Made himself a body, dwelt in it, sent it to a sinner's grave, and then raised it the third day for your justification. Oh, glory to God. Is there anyone in need of healing? Let's say, Father, I just got faith now. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing this afternoon, brother, sister. Don't walk out of here in pain. Don't walk out of here with frustration. You walk out of here healed under the power of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So what do I do now, brother? Act like it's already done. Hallelujah. Praise it. You know, we put that image of the Christian that we want to be. Just be it. Don't worry about your neighbor. Be that Christian. Be the one that just praises God because you love him. Yeah. That just loves on the Lord because you don't care about nobody else. You care about him. One that knows you got to go home and clean something up and you don't give it a second thought. You just do it. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, I'm not your judge. The Lord Jesus is. But he's here identifying with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Brother Andrew, what you waiting on? Holy Spirit's here this afternoon, brother, sister. I'm not presuming that. You're beginning to pull in that way, too. Is there anyone who can come forward right now and say, Lord, I'm going to receive my need right now? Would you come? I mean, right now. Please don't wait. Don't hesitate if you've got a need. Come on. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Don't bring it to me. Bring it to him. It'll be settled right here. The presence of God is here. Hallelujah. The one that knows every heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Oh, praise his name. You're looking for revival? This is it, brother, sister. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, do you hear his voice? Don't harden your heart. Say, Lord, this is the day. I'm here to die. That I might live anew in you, Lord. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Brothers, sisters, pray for these that's come. Pray for these with all your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe with my sister. I believe with my brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Hallelujah. There's just such a presence here. I don't know what to do, brother, sister, but just to let the Lord have his way as he moves through these hearts. I'm going to lay hands on them. You believe. Say, Lord, whatever their ailment was, whatever it is, we're laying on that promise that if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, Brother Austin. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, Brother Justin. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, Brother Jason. In the name of Jesus Christ, Sister Shirley, receive your need. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your need, sister. Oh, just believe it now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just worship him. Praise him. Lift him up with all your heart. Believe in it with all that's in you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Lord, take the preeminence now. I stand behind you, Lord. Take the service in your name.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah. Jesus. You won't be no closer to the presence of God till you cross over.
Pure and holy.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And
don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Say, Lord, I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let your faith loose this afternoon. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be His name. Oh, hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for identifying, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the witness of the Holy Ghost. Oh, brother, sister, He knows all about it. He knows your heart. And He's still inviting you to come. Hallelujah. He knows all the evil you've done. He knows all the sins, the secret things. And He still invites you to come. I believe that door of grace is soon to close, but I believe it's still open for us. You're seeking Him. Run in now. Let the faith that's in your heart become a work. And the first work you need is repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe it's all my heart. Standing on holy ground.
And we are standing on holy ground.
And I know.
And I know that there are angels all around.
Hallelujah.
So let us pray.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank
Jesus,
you, Lord.
Jesus, now.
Thank you, Jesus.
For we are standing in His presence on hold.
Thank you, Lord. That's where you're at this afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes.
We are standing.
Love Him with all your heart, brother, sister.
On holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around.
Oh, receive it. Receive it with all that's in you.
So let us
renounce all your doubt, all your fear, all your confusion. Say, Lord, I accept.
Jesus,
hallelujah. I accept the Spirit in my life. Yes, Lord.
We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Oh, what a presence this afternoon. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you grateful for the Lord today?
On holy ground.
With all your heart.
And I know that there are angels all around.
Thank you, Lord.
So let us pray.
Stand in His presence on high.
as Dad plays it soft. Just worship Him your own way. Hallelujah, Lord. Know that the words you sung are true. We're on holy ground. There's angels all around. There's a God of heaven calling souls to Himself. Oh, don't you love Him? Don't you adore Him? Is He worthy of your praise, your adoration, your life, your ambition? Oh, Christian friend, give all your heart to the Lord this afternoon. Don't take a breath without Him. Don't go to the store without Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't pass a comment without praising His name for all that He is. Lord Jesus, we love You with all our hearts. Thank You for doing what no man can do. Thank You for passing all time and space and eternity to come by this way and to fellowship with us, Lord. So we know Your presence is here amongst us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for healing our infirmities. Thank You for healing our souls. Oh, Lord, thank You for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank You for power from on high. Lord, most of all, thank You for the love You bestowed upon us. And Lord, we do what little we can to show our love back to You. That, Lord, You're worthy. We love You, Lord Jesus. Father, I commit this service, all that was done, every soul here, as trophies of this message You brought to us. Trophies to the kingdom of God, that Your blood was powerful enough to save these souls and to bring them out of darkness and to give them power from on high. Grant to each one that's here, Lord, may not a one miss it, but may each one be ready, bags packed, tickets punched, to go in the resurrection when it comes. Lord, let us have a new drive, Lord, a new ambition to serve You with everything that's in us. To let our expectations be higher than they've ever been before, that the coming of the Lord is nigh. Oh, make us desperate for You and desperate for the kingdom. Grant it to each one, we pray. Thank You so much for visiting us today. In Jesus Christ's name I ask You. Amen. Oh, Christians, oh, You love Him. Thank You, Lord. Just worship Him your own way, as I said. Just any way You praise the Lord, just do it. Thank You, Lord. Let's just spend a little time worshiping in the Spirit. Thank You, blessed God. Hallelujah, Lord. I love You so much, Jesus. Thank You for everything. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 If you know it, let's sing that together now. Let's lift Him up.
I exalt Thee,
exalt Thee.
I exalt Thee,
I exalt Thee.
Oh, Lord.
From the beginning now. Lift Him up. Let's praise Him with all our hearts today.
Oh, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
I exalt Thee. Oh,
we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise and worship today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Him, children. Give Him praise. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Oh, have you heard from heaven this afternoon?
Yes.
Thank the Lord, Jesus. Ed, I just believe it. I believe we've taken a step this afternoon, brother, sister, in the power and presence of God. How many believes that with all your heart?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just keep on believing it, brother, sister. When you walk out of them doors, don't let none of your faith go down. Don't let it dwindle. Just keep building it up, because I believe we're on a road somewhere, Dad. I think we're going to go to Canaan's land here soon. We'll sing it here in a minute, because I just don't want to say bye without saying bye. I'm going to miss y'all. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. I'm going to be gone next few weeks. My brother Nathan's going to be here Wednesday. Expect great things from God. Amen. Amen. Don't be the, what's that, when the mouse is gone, the cat's player, however that, y'all help me out. I'm getting too young, brother. But don't do that. You come and you praise the Lord just the same. You worship just the same. Brother Nathan's going to be here Wednesday. Praise the Lord for his ministry. I sure appreciate him. Next Sunday and Wednesday, it's going to be Brother Alexander. He's almost assistant around these parts at this point. But I sure appreciate our brother. And I sure appreciate the Lord Jesus. I tell you what, I'm glad. I think we're finally getting to the point where we're saying, Lord, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. I'll be a vessel, but don't let me get involved. You just do it right on through me, Lord, and I just believe it and trust you, and it just works out so much better. Isn't that glorious? I'm just so enjoying His presence. How many still feels His presence here with me? Thank the Lord, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Well, God bless you. If I don't see you, I'll see you in a few weeks. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Again, if you don't know, it's 326. God bless you. So, I didn't get to. Who do you have with you here? What's your name? What's that? Parker, it was good to have you with us. Appreciate your attendance and your reverence and things. It's good to see that. It's good to have you here. So God bless you. Hope you enjoy the service. Let's go ahead and sing. It's 326. I'm on my way to Canaan's land.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise God. I'm
on my way.
Oh, yes, I'm on my way.
You can be dismissed, brother, sister. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise God. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way, praise God, I'm on my way. If my brother don't